procedurally, Mr. Smith, no, just real quick. Next step is just to get this back on the agenda for a vote, is that correct?
Yes.
It goes back on the agenda for a vote, yes. There's no more public hearings.
And Mr. Fred, let me ask this question. And Todd, when is, what's our schedule coming up here? We got the early November, don't we get off again, another election day or something?
That's correct. We meet next week, and then we're off a week, and then we're back on a week.
Okay, I would suggest, Mr. President, give us all time to, I guess, digest what's in front of us.
Sure.
Maybe the week after
The election?
Election.
Okay.
Very good. Is that okay with everybody?
Like the 15th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it appropriate or necessary that we close the record?
Yes, I think we probably should.
I would think so, yeah. We need to do that.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlette, to close the record on Changes Zone 1759, Osprey Point D LLC.
And you want to put in that motion to place it on the agenda then?
We just do that.
We just have to do that.
Any questions on a motion?
No.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Cole.
Yep.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. So, Mr. Lawson, if we could, if it will fit on the week of the 15th.
Yes, sir.
If not, the meeting after that.
Very good.
Now, Mr. Medlars.
Mr. President, good morning, Council.
Good morning.
In the spirit of keeping Council involved in various steps of various projects, we have two of the projects coming back to you today, which you have seen before, you've approved in principle, you sort of know where we are and which steps were taken. The first one is Love Creek Woods. That's part of the Angola North expansion. And you know, that was the project where we needed to obtain the last easement to get the certification for the right-of-way to proceed to bidding for this county project. It's a county project, county sewer expansion project. I am very pleased to tell you that we have resolved all the issues. There was some, I'd say that was some heavy lifting involved. The HOA, after a number of meetings, and their council signed off. Our assistant county attorney, she and I worked out some last county issues we had. It went over to the developer with a pretty much take it or leave it approach. And I received it back this week, last Thursday, with signed documentation. So we're ready to proceed. We have a signed easement document. The easement document becomes valid as soon as you grant the final approval to the participation agreement, which is ready then for the president's signature. I had to craft an accompanying memorandum to the HOA. It spells out the steps we will take for the cost containment. So we will try anything and everything to keep the project under the $180,000 contributed by a third party. However, the county assumes no liability above and beyond the $180,000. We do have a lengthy list of steps. The engineering department agreed to limit the cost to the constituents. It's a great example of how we can do our projects better for the end user. So I'm excited to get it started, but the first step here is your approval.
I bet you have a motion, don't you?
I do have a motion. I've been trained. And I've been trained by Levy Court previously, and President Banter always said he wanted short motions, so I'm bringing my motions down to shorter.
There you go. That's okay.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approve the sewer participation agreement between Sussex County NSBM LLC and the Love Creek Woods Homeowners Association.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mrs. Dever. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The next one, again, the third incremental step for the South Coastal expansion. You know, the current treatment plant is a 7 million gallon per day facility. We have a permit pending, so we're working under what's called administratively extended permit. We'd like to expand our permit to 10 million gallons within that next permit cycle, which means we have essentially 5 years to get this all done. You have previously reviewed the engineer of record and the whole history behind how you selected the engineer of record and what the engineer of record has been involved in. you reaffirmed said engineer of record, which is GHD Incorporated. You authorized us to negotiate amendment number 11 to their contract, which was as narrow as preliminary engineering report and as broad as conceptual design development. So we had the environmental services team, Heather and I, had two meetings with the engineers discussing the scope, reducing the scope in certain aspects but expanding it in others. It includes now all development aspects from the hydraulic side as well as the processing side to a 10 million gallon facility. But it goes beyond the just reporting. It goes to what we call the 30% design stage, which allows us at that point then to come back and fully negotiate the remainder of the design contract. But you would see that 30% design stage for your, I'll probably have it in a presentation, and at the same time ask you to authorize us to negotiate the full design, and then you see it for the final, again, when we present the final design contract for your approval. So this here is for, let's call it the 30% conceptual design stage, and I'm asking for your approval of that amendment number 11 with GHD, the engineer of record.
You have a motion for that?
We have a motion for that.
I knew you would. You're prepared.
I didn't know whether you had any further questions.
We'll get a motion, then we'll see if we've got any questions.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 11 to the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities Expansion number 2 contract with GHD Incorporated be approved in the amount not to exceed $242,114.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Mr. Deaver. Any questions on this motion?
Actually, that doesn't, that's not a lot of water when we think about 3 million gallons.
No, it's once it comes at you all at the same time, it's a lot of water.
I pump in 3 days' time, 4 days' time, I pump 3 million gallons of water. Mm-hmm. On one farm.
You remember, Councilman Wilson, this is million gallons per day, so this water will be coming at you in 24 hours or less.
That's the way I figured. I got to run back 24 hours a day.
Because you get wet with it. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Obvious. Motion carried.
The next one. The third and final thing I will ask our council to assist. It's really not the first step. I'll have to go back 2 years. It is really the third step you touched at. The first time in March of 2015, council at the joint meeting between the board, that being the Sussex Conservation District Board, and the county council, authorized an initial working group which really dealt with just the drainage aspect of that particular question you had, how to improve drainage and subdivisions for the residents of Sussex County. In this year's joint meeting in March of 2016, I gave a presentation which dealt with, I followed up a presentation by the district administrator, Mr. Baird, with a small presentation of the engineering department detailing some of the road issues we like to address and some of the other issues which are more dear to your heart, such as closeout requirements. So you authorized the expansion of the working group, not in size and not in members, but in scope. And that particular scope is what we want to come back to you today. We have, we being Vince and the working group, have developed the changes to the ordinances and to the chapters of the code. It's one ordinance. For Mr. Wilson's benefit, we were desperately trying to keep the strikeouts and the additions equal. We are very close. So the code will not be noticeably thicker than when we're finished, than when we started.
That's true.
Just more regulations, more money, right?
It is, let's call it substitute. We're taking out as much as we put in.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yeah.
That's
I
a promise.
A making more efficient.
Mrs. Deaver, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear about this at this time. It's my happy day. Thank you very much. You will be presenting some suggestions as far as legislation to the council. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what has the
these are the the topics, the suggestions, the proposed draft ordinance will touch. The first one, I'll speak to the first two, maybe to the first two and a half, and then Vince will sort of roll it into the more technical administrative, from an administrative side items. What we have achieved is before there were very, let's call it, no guidelines on how to provide the final grading for subdivisions. And this is a heavy lifting because the grading gets touched in many stages. So in order to really accomplish this and make all the parties on the working group happy, and let me just say, represented are homeowners, their thinking is final end user as well as HOA thinking. Then we have design engineers, we have site contractors, we have a number of builders, we have obviously developers, and we have the district, as well as some of my staff members from Public Works, our attorney, and myself. So it's 20 member group. It's a fairly large group, but it constitutes a lot of the interests represented. And we have a good working relationship. And there's give and take, believe it or not. We will not move forward unless we have consensus, and consensus to the point that since we are a working group, this is not like a subsection of council. We look for last and final comment. That's how we like to approach things. So the first thing is, when you look at the grading in the overall sense, you start with how to bulk grade a site and leave it for the next phase. So that is one requirement level. The next one is the detailed grading plan that establishes by grade a much more accurate level of grading down to how will my swale by the side of my home look like, and how will the roadway drainage look versus the backyard drainage. Then you take it down to the individual lot grading plan. That is something we created new and will be handed in at the time of the permit application, that is the building permit application. And then there's actually a closeout step, which is the certificate level. So if and when this particular lot is closed out, a certificate will be handed in by a licensed surveyor stating that the grading on the site meets the requirements as per the individual lot grading plan. And Mr. Wright and the building inspection team has that to back them up for the issuance of the certificate of occupancy. Mm-hmm. So that's me talking in general terms. It's much drier when Vince starts to talk about it. Because he will put it in legal language. We're quite along that way. We have the update on the street design requirements, and that is probably the key thing people wanted to, the key thing you've heard about. The swales are too mildly sloped. We don't have enough slope on these swales. Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think the entire working group agreed from the get-go that the swale slopes have to be changed. It was just a long discussion, what is appropriate and what is the minimum. So that, we have reached the end of that road, so that's included. We wrestled with the right-of-way width, and the right-of-way width we have wrestled with for no other reason, but you remember the state stormwater regulations are in flux. So we needed to accommodate the right-of-way width in order to allow for a hand-in-glove design with the new stormwater regs as they're coming down the pike. So having said this, you want to make sure that if we have evildoers in the world of development, that they're held and that the bonding requirements meet or exceed the standards in order to finish the task at hand. And we've really created a three-step approach, and that would be you can work under a permit by the district that is a separately issued permit, as you know, and you can install all your stormwater improvements out of the right-of-way, such as infiltration practices, extended detention ponds, biofiltration issues, without involving the county. So you can do this work just under your Sussex Conservation District bond. Once you come to us, you can install utilities, you can install road base, et cetera, as long as you do not require or even ask for any building permit. So that's what you see, the unbonded provision where no properties are being transferred. That means you can't even get a building permit. You can't even transfer this paper property. If and when you want to transfer property or obtain building permits, you must bond. There is no other option. But you can now pick your starting point, and that's the key thing. You see, you can do a lot of work. Once you're ready, you say, I'm ready. We will now determine the value of your remaining work, and it will have to be bonded with the provisions of safety, i.e. markups, in place as we have provided for in the past. Your turn, Dennis.
And I would just add, going back, one thing with the street design requirements in the code currently, there were street design requirements that probably go back to the 80s. At one point, 5 or 6 years ago, there was an ordinance drafted to pull all that out of the code just because it was outdated and nobody, in fact, was even using it. County engineering wasn't enforcing it. So that kind of also led to the need to update them. So that sort of was one of the things that led to what Hans has talked about. I want to stress, too, with the bonding requirements that Hans just mentioned, if they proceed without a bond, that does not mean that the work that may be occurring is not inspected by Public Works. So there's still going to be full county involvement as the construction is underway. I don't want you to think that because there's not a bond that the county is hands-off approach.
No, there will be a utility construction agreement. There will be the inspection fees charged and paid, and there will be a notice to proceed issued by the department for the construction activities. Just means no properties can be transferred, no permits can be obtained.
So along the lines of the bonding as well, we've cleaned up a few things. We've allowed that there's not going to be an alteration of the phases. So in other words, once something's bonded, that phase has to stay static, because there has been situations in the past where there's been multiple phase plans and bonds that we've questioned what they cover because of phases being changed. So we're not going to allow that anymore. We are going to also establish that amenities are a separate phase with separate bonding. That's been something that I know Hans's office and planning and zoning have been concerned about, just to make sure that we've got a bond that covers amenities that can be enforced as such.
And also the bonding for the amenities falls now with the phasing plan for the amenities. So there's no misunderstanding from the onset when the amenities will be built. So if you buy lot one and you see amenities is in phase four, you cannot expect the amenities to appear when lot two of phase one is built. No, they will appear after phase four is completed. So the customer, your constituents, has a clear path forward, what to expect and when to expect.
And the flip side of that is if they don't abide by that phasing plan, we have a bond then that we can go and call to get those amenities constructed if there's an issue.
I have a question.
Community
in the past has bought homes, and they say they were told that there's a piece of property right near the road that was always going to stay green and open space, and that changed. And would that be an amenity? Would that be something that could be bonded or should be, you know, if that's what they thought and that's what they were told, so they say, is there any protection?
That would be if it's open space. Bonding typically covers a structure, physical thing on the property. So whether or not it's open space or not would be covered by the bonding provisions. Mm-hmm. However, that would be an amendment to a site plan if it's changed, which could trigger to go back through the whole regulatory process.
The only thing I can think of, and Vince probably wants to trigger that, landscaping is bonded.
No, that's true. That's true.
So you may want to, did you think of a space which had, let's say, planting requirements with it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact words, but they were told that it will never be developed.
Oh, man.
And that's not very precise. But I'd have to go back and look at that, you know. But I'm just wondering because it did fall through, and I would like to have answers for something like that.
We're dealing with the physical improvements to a property for major subdivisions.
I understand.
And that's was our task. And maybe I should say one last thing. and maybe Todd probably kicks me that I haven't said it earlier. We can't fix the problems of the past. They would have to be addressed.
Oh, no, I'm not asking
case
for
by
that.
Case,
no.
Lot by lot,
no.
Problem by problem basis.
I'm asking really what is an amenity, you know. Okay. Yeah.
Todd's, before it to my mind, I do have a question. I know in previous years, one of the conversations we had, and one of the that some people thought was an issue, is that there was never a requirement or a whatever for a as-built, sir, I guess survey, whatever you want to call it. Does this? I mean, the concern was obviously that I buy my lot and I build my house, and Mr. Wilson buys a house, the lot next door, and he grades something and runs all his stuff on me or whatever. Is there something in your process that will cover that?
Fully addressed on bullet one. It's fully addressed by phase, and it's fully addressed on an individual basis. So
okay.
We will be able to mediate the dispute between you and Mr. Wilson.
Good.
That's great.
I don't want it
to Mr. President, may I ask a question as well?
Sure.
Are you continuing? Do you have more to present, or is this a
we
good
have
time?
Two more yeah.
Okay. I'll save it for the end then.
Okay.
So the next item, number five, this is sort of more of an in-house issue in terms of something that Public Works deals with. When there is a project that's been approved, there's a process by which construction plans are approved by County Engineering and Public Works. We needed to clarify that upon the approval, there will actually be a notice to proceed that's issued. It's kind of like a building permit for the site, not for the individual houses, but for the construction that goes on building the streets and the stormwater management. There's a notice to proceed that's issued and has been for years, but that wasn't reflected in the code, so that's cleared that up. What we also did, or are doing, is clarifying the project closeout requirements. In other words, so we got the notice to proceed at the front end. How do we wrap up a project? The final inspections, punch list items. One of the biggest issues that County Engineering and Planning and Zoning deal with from neighbors and homeowners associations is top coat requirements. So we've established a schedule by which that needs to be installed within a development. And it's a fair schedule, but one that people will understand and be able to adhere to so that there's knowledge of what needs to happen and it's not lingering forever with a top coat not being installed.
Very good.
And your constituents who lives in phase two, they can look at this schedule and see, based on the progress they see around them, when the final closeout top coat is required. So that gives clarity to the customer, it gives clarity to the builder, and it gives clarity to the entity enforcing it, us, and the planning.
With that, Mr. President, may I? Is this only for private roads, or is this also inclusive of DLDOT roads?
County private roads only.
That's to clarify. I know. And on the bonding, I know that the county, as it relates to these bonds, is 125%, if I recall. Is that a correct statement? I think our bonding, I think based on previous things, at least, is it roadways that's the 125%? Is the bonding that we require?
That's correct.
And then DLDOT only requires, if I recall, 20% or 25%, much less.
DLDOT has a much lesser bonding
right.
requirement, yes.
And then how do we safeguard those homeowners that are in this county when DLDOT has a 20 or 25% bond and that developer is not doing their part and they're out there lingering, which exists today in some communities, in some meetings that I've been with. So how do we address that?
That's a DLDOT issue.
But they can also withhold permits to make sure they get the money. They've got leverage.
they have leverage in the sense of you need an entrance permit from DLDOT. So they would have to exercise their own right of leverage at the district level. So it is an issue, but it's a minor issue in Sussex County. But like Councilman Cole said, that becomes an internal DLDOT district process.
And then also, I guess we have no jurisdiction with regard to the town, the towns.
That's affirmative. No. Yes.
Okay. I just want to reaffirm because I know there's some issues that exist out there for that as well.
Yeah.
So
actually, the road has got in a development. It's got to be four times as thicker than it has on a regular highway on a state highway.
I would like to counsel the councilman on this issue.
I proved that to some group that I had a group come back there from the state one time. Says, "Oh, this road is a lot thicker than the problem what you put in." So anyway, I went out there and dug it, cut a hole into it, and it showed it was, when I threw the blacktop, it wasn't even half inch thick. Actually, the other road was 2 inches thick. The blacktop road was in development.
I'm pleased to tell you that the new proposed changes work everything backwards from what we call structural numbers. We have very safe structural numbers, which we like to introduce in the process. Mm-hmm. But I think I need to talk to you a little bit more on this other one.
So actually, they have changed it from 18 foot
Somebody
wide.
Somebody needs to talk to them.
The state was 18 foot wide, now they're going to 20 feet.
That is correct. You are correct on the width. No, I can affirm this right now.
I'm glad you gave me credit on one thing.
Okay. And one more question.
Mrs. Deamer.
And when I came on council, we were faced with a lot of half-built developments, and the developers disappeared and or went under. And how do your plans work as far as changing phases? If the new developer comes in, how is the new developer under obligation to do exactly what we have agreed to?
The overall phasing plan, which goes with the bulk grading plan,
mm-hmm.
is approved, and it stands for the life
right.
of the subdivision.
Okay, so they can't change that, but we would have bond money to cover.
The phase in question.
Okay. So we wouldn't get into a situation like, it was a lot of people that went away fast.
Looking forward in the future, the safeguards are such that I, as your county engineer, am very comfortable that I will not find myself in the situation I found myself in December of 2015.
Oh, good.
There were a lot of open issues and especially through the extensions you worked through, and
mm-hmm.
we have a couple of legacy issues we're dealing with on a subdivision basis. We have a number of legacy issues we're dealing mm-hmm. with on a lot basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think looking forward 5 years from now, my department will not have to deal with these legacy issues anymore.
Well, that's great. Great news.
Tying into that, number six is introduction of expiration dates for construction plan approvals. One of the things that we dealt with the extensions that Hans was talking about were oftentimes there was construction plans that were so old that they didn't meet anything that was current.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at connecting that with the approval periods for final site plans so that everything will run concurrently so that we shouldn't run into that issue.
And that really, when you granted these extensions, we were starting to look at when the final approvals were granted for the road and utility zones. And they by far predated even the original record plans. So we were sort of reluctantly forced, and we certainly mm-hmm. held our grounds on many one-on-one case-by-case basis. But people came to us and said, I have a final approval from 2006. So, and we had nothing to point to say, no, it's long expired. So this will, mm-hmm. this is really a joint effort between okay. planning department and engineering department to tie all the approvals to a timeline.
Great.
So number seven is something that we picked up on, and we think it'll add clarity for all involved. There's several places in Chapter 99, which is subdivisions, Chapter 110, which deals with sewer, and 115, that of course is the zoning, that talks about fees or talks about administrative costs. I want to be clear, we're not adding any fees or administrative costs, but it would use those terms and it wouldn't necessarily say how they were determined. So what we've done is, in cases where those types of terms apply, state that they're going to be approved by council as part of the annual budget process. Just so that it's out there that this number or this percentage is established on an annual basis by county council.
And we have to expand the we. This was not our idea. This was Ms. Jennings' idea.
No doubt.
So this is a greater we. And I think it is a fantastic idea because, A, it removes all these different fee numbers from the ordinance code, mm-hmm. from the code, and puts them in your annual budget ordinance, which allows you flexibility, and credits to Ms. Jennings on this.
And then last but not least, now when planning and zoning sees a commercial site plan, so that's one for some type of commercial building, that's not a public hearing, and it sort of goes hand in hand with building permits. Those commercial site plans never had a period of validity. In other words, they never expired mm-hmm. by code. So there was always sort of a question. I know Mr. Lang, you know, would even ask, you know, we had this come in 2006, and now somebody wants to rely on it to get a building permit or whatever. And it was just, you know, there was no guidance at all in our code. So we're looking at establishing a period of validity for those. I think the time period we're looking at is 3 years, because that'll connect with the other regulatory requirements.
Yeah, will that catch all, I mean, anything out that's been approved or just new stuff?
Well, I'll look at, but overall this ordinance is going forward, because mm-hmm. it's hard to apply a lot of this retroactively. Okay. That may be one that we can do, kind of call out separately and have that apply retroactively. Mm-hmm.
There was some land over in Nassau area that DLDOT had given entrance permits for that, I think, almost 20 years ago. And, of course, the owner wanted that to apply. And when do their decisions expire? Entrance permit decisions.
The current ones expire in 5 years. So,
5 years? Yes. Okay. So that's all right. Good.
But I don't know what they were 20 years ago.
Well, the point is that he had it. He had the paper there with the approval from DLDOT, and I wasn't aware at the time. Of course, when did they expire? He wasn't aware that they had expired, or maybe he was just trying to pull the wool over our eyes. it should expire.
So if I may state one thing, with exceptions of items 7 and 8, we strictly stuck to the scope authorized by council. Then with Ms. Jennings' idea about pulling the fees out, that sort of expanded the scope, and then Mr. Lang's suggestion on the commercial site plans, that expanded the scope. So you could say, okay, you two, Vince and Hans, you sort of veered off the reservation with items 7 and 8, but I think they were good suggestions, and I hope you find them worthy of inclusion in our scope.
So to drain this, we're going to talk about stormwater holes. Is that the direction we're trying to go? It's a lot of need to have stormwater holes that's going to be lowering the sea level. Isn't that amazing?
No, we still have, and our code will clearly reflect, we cannot take jurisdiction over the stormwater management. We can deal with the placement. We can deal with trying to make accommodations of certain practices in the right of way. But in the end, when it comes to what kind of, as you call them, holes, stormwater facilities are
that
to be...
That board you're on approves those things.
Only...
they probably didn't know no better.
No, the board, that's still...
We got a lot of them from city, from out of town. They don't know no better.
Councilman, I'm still involved in the Regulatory Advisory Committee, and that is... That's probably another 12 months process before they're finalized.
3 points, Mr.
Arlett.
Mr. President. first question.
Hey, please, we're going to have lunch.
It's only 11:20. It's still breakfast time. It's still brunch time, actually. but the three questions. And number one is, I know you mentioned the types of people that are on the board, but do we have names? I mean,
yes.
Is that something that we will get an email of, or how is
what
it?
What we'd like to do is, first, the next step as it unfolds would be the introduction, where we give a somewhat more detailed overview, okay. And then the public hearing. So at the introduction level, if you so choose, I can name all the names and their representation. Yes. At the public hearing level, all members have indicated unless there is a dire conflict, they will be present and testifying.
Good. Okay. I think just for full disclosure, I think that's really important. Number two is this also being addressed in here? I think there's two things that I've heard, at different times from different people, and I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm throwing it out there. Is the working group going to be talking about this? The different road requirements that we have in the county, i.e. private roads versus that of DLDOT. Meaning the thickness. I think there is a difference there, and I've heard that, and should we look at making it, I don't know if we should be looking at that. That's number one.
The structural numbers are now so close in requirements that we like to keep it at that level. We like to say you have a requirement to meet a minimum structural number, and we give examples of what the road cross-section would look like. But in the end, the engineer has to prove to the engineering department, the design engineer has to prove to the engineering department that the road design meets or exceeds the structural number based on soil conditions. Okay. So I'm very comfortable with that approach. I think we are at par. We are certainly very close to the requirements, but we still make it so that you have flexibility and not a one-size-fits-all. You know, right. This is Sussex County after all.
Right. Which is why I just brought it up, because some concerns that we've heard from different people, whether it be valid or not, I don't know. The third and final thing perhaps might be even the most important, perhaps, and that would be the width of the roads. I will tell you, it is a concern for me. I do live in a community, and I'm not alone, whereas that has curbs. And in the end, you know, if you put a car on either side, and it's a Del Dot road, you put two cars right at the edge of those curbs, a fire truck can't get through there. And so for me, are we looking at adjusting a width of the road, perhaps based on the community, based on the need?
Exactly.
Are we looking at addressing that?
That has been fully vetted, and we're to the point that the group specified a minimum width, and then a number of criteria you can apply which make that width either larger or significantly larger. And it has to do with the off-street parking, so the lot sizes. So these are the criteria. And in the end, when it's all said and done, it has to meet Delaware State Fire Prevention Regulations. So we've had two meetings with the Fire Marshal's Office, and we like to follow it up after the introduction in the open period with two fire chiefs we have approached for further input.
But I presume, I mean, if you've got two cars and our HOA has attempted to, you know, you can only park on one side of the road kind of a thing, that's not reality. And they can't do that because they don't even own the road. But common sense would tell you, by a measurement, two cars and a fire truck can't get through there. There is a problem. And so...
And we have addressed that.
Thank you.
That
was the question.
And now that... I was waiting patiently, so if I may I make a final comment?
You certainly may.
Final comment?
Final comment. And that has to do with, we were both talking about, should we put the hot button item on the written page, and we did not. We were waiting whether the question would come up. If the Planning Commission requires sidewalks, we now have a design standard that sidewalks can be built. They must be built in the right-of-way. And there is no reason to remove them after the fact once they have been approved. So we are comfortable with that, and we're ready to present that to you in more detail. But it is definitely included.
Very good. Obviously, as we all understand, this has been a long process. It's been discussed numerous times before your time here, and for whatever reason, couldn't get a lot of traction. But I do think that with Mr. Lawson, with your leadership, with the private sector participating, the public participating, and everybody to a point buying into, this is a good idea. Because obviously, as we all understand, there are developments out there that were built some years back. There's been water issues, and some small, some big. I think probably what happened, my guess is, with the developers, the contractors got tired of their phone ringing from the public complaining. But now I think this is a good thing. I really do. I think it's a good thing. It's a good move for this county to put a lot of this stuff in writing, as it should be. Things that can be followed, understood by the public. So when X person buys a lot, they have expectations and know what it is and when it will be delivered. And that is a great improvement, in my opinion.
Amen.
So thank you very much for all your hard work. We look forward to the next phase.
Mr. Vincent.
Mr. Wilson.
May I offer him a little
advice? You certainly may.
That my father was born in 1897, long before he even blacktopped the road.
I know he's coming.
Here's one of the things he said. If you want to buy a piece of land, go look at what's wet. And look at what, don't go down and buy bottom land, buy some on the knoll. And drive well and make sure it's got good water when you get done. See, people not smart enough to know that today. That's why I go to college. That's why they have engineers tell us that water runs uphill. They don't really know any better yet.
1896.
They came from Baltimore, so we don't expect any better.
The advice is still good 120 years later.
There you go. Thank you very much.
It sure is more expensive.
Can I ask one last question?
Mr. Arlett.
Just timeline expectations. Because I really think this is profound, as Mr. President just said. This is a big deal for this county.
Mm-hmm.
Actually having some real standards for the best interest of the public in many ways. And so commend you. But timelines and expectations of when we think we might hear this and perhaps even see it and vote on this. What are your thoughts?
This is what I'm talking about, my fellow councilman. You want to address? Been here a few years.
Well,
absolutely. And that's why the people voted for me, Mr. Wilson. Exactly.
If the new board didn't go up.
Let's let the speakers answer the
question. Was asked.
I would say the ordinance is probably about 85% done at this point, based on the input that we received from the working group and Hans and myself. What the plan is just to run it back through some of the principal people in that, and just to make sure that it translated from their work product into the ordinance. And then, it's going to be really the schedule of the county, I think, at that point. I mean, it's not going to be the next meeting in November or the meeting after that by the time we run it through. But
Maybe the last meeting in November once we recirculated, because we, as Councilman Ouellette said, we have to touch back with the legal product, make sure everybody understands how the language translates, and then one last meeting with the fire chiefs, and I think we will be ready for introduction.
Yeah, right.
Help me understand when he's done. So if I understand correctly, if homes are in a process of being built and one homeowner says that he doesn't think it's graded properly and he comes to the county, could you tell me whether or not this developer's following the plans? And prior to that, our county would say, well, here are the plans. But the county wouldn't go out and, enforce.
We had nothing to enforce.
I know. So we will, in the future, be able to have
once
a part
have
of
ordinance.
That. Right. I understand. That's a very, very important thing. And as we've all found out, it's been so expensive to fix things once that are already done wrong. It's so expensive. And I have some in my area that still don't drain well. So I'm glad you're doing this. Thank you.
I mean, it addresses driveways, driveway locations, driveway pipes, driveway pipe slopes, driveway pipe inverts.
Right.
That's all spelled out in the detailed grading plans.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we don't have today at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the individualized lot grading plans, which then reinforce it. And the certificates, which deals with the certification of the accurately built driveway. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I can't fix the ills of the past,
but we're trying to move forward. Moving forward.
Amen.
Thank you.
We still got half an hour before lunch.
Mrs. Jennings, grants.